John chapter 14, verse 1 says simply, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me." And those are the words of Jesus. Talk to his Father in his name, asking him to bless this lesson this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for the assurances and the promises that you give us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have your own role as a part of that Godhead that you are, each one of you, Father, you and Jesus and the Spirit himself, Father, we thank you for each role that each one plays. Help us to understand it. Help us to acknowledge it. Help us to partake in it, Lord. And help us to be blessed by it, I pray. Teach us tonight. Help us to find joy in this time of fellowship in your word. Bless us, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Those who are present this evening, everyone who's old enough to be so, don't have any understanding. I believe each one of us that are present here are believers. You believe in the Lord for his provision in Christ. You believed in Jesus, that he indeed is that provision for us. That Savior offered himself as that gift for us, as that sacrifice. Now, as you look around the title here, you see different representations from different people of Jesus and their impression of him. I'll be honest with you, there's probably not a single depiction here that I'm a real fan of, but this is how a number of different people present Jesus in years past, and just kind of represents for our thoughts this evening that different people, two different people, Jesus is kind of a different thing. People focus on different key elements of him, focus on different, different provisions, different pieces of who he is, and different pieces of their interpretation of him, even if that's not who he is. I guess you could say just that a lot of different things is what Jesus is to a lot of different people. But just so, the people that he spoke to in this passage here, where we just read, they were believers like we are. Peter himself identified Jesus as the Christ, and the others who were there. Well, if Peter is to be believed, he says, we've all come to know this. So if they were believers, then how come Jesus said what he did here at the end of this verse, where he says, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why did he tell them to do this? Except for Judas, they were all faithful. Again, in John chapter 6 and verse 69, Peter had made that statement. He says, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then 8 chapters later, we see this passage here where he says, believe also in me. Now, you understand that there is just a need for us to continue in faith, to continue believing the Lord, not merely for salvation, but to continue to believe him to be the salvation for that specific day. So just putting it in just a quick broad strokes kind of nutshell, I could just say that Jesus said this because he needed to. He needed to remind these different ones. In this age, well, we just sang two of those choruses that we just sang. I didn't prompt them. Obviously, each one of you requested them. I think it was Sarah, and I forget who requested the other one, but it parsed out the Godhead. As I just mentioned a moment ago as I was praying, it identified Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Then it goes on. Again, I can't ever remember lyrics when I'm standing here off the cuff, but you know what I'm talking about. It specified each one. That being said, in this day and age for us, and in this age, this church age, where we live under the banner of Christendom and different ones live under that banner of Christian, oftentimes we kind of lump all that Godhead together and it's just God to us. I think that our assembly is pretty good at parsing him out and understanding that. But it can be our nature. At times we'll pray, Heavenly Father, and we proceed through, and then at the end we might say, in your name we pray. Sometimes we make that statement, and I'm not going to just ding anybody for that, but you understand that there is a separation that's intended there. There is a separation as you're praying to the Lord. There's a separation of duties, I guess you could say, that's parted out between those three members of that Godhead. John 16, verse 23. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Now, I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of what that means, but let's just focus on the understanding that you ask the Father, that part of the Godhead, that personage of the Godhead, in my name. It's separated out. And that's why we make that effort when we're talking to our Heavenly Father to identify at the end, as is our custom. In Jesus' name, we do ask these things. Because, well, we understand that they are separate. Not everyone does such a thing. Oftentimes, you can just fall into that, well, into that place of it just being God being God. Now, it wouldn't have been difficult for the disciples to see this separation here, because unlike us, they saw Jesus as a person, as an individual. He stood there before them. He taught before them. He healed among them. He walked with them, ate with them, and all of those things that we consider actually quite often. The things that he did as a person, as a human being, as he walked on this earth. So to look at him and recognize the individuality and the personage of Jesus would not have been difficult for Peter and for Thomas and for Bartholomew and all those ones who walked with him. It would not have been difficult for them at all. And so that might have been, in part, what Jesus had in mind when he opened up, in that verse that we opened up with here, when he says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And, well, I'll add a couple of words there. Believe also in me as God. Perhaps that was the approach he was taking. I think that we know that it was necessary for them to hear that. I think it was proven, actually, that they needed to be reminded. You believe in God, believe also in me as God. Not just merely the Son of God, but as God. They needed to hear that. Not long after this, Jesus was arrested, taken from them. They all fled in their fear. After Jesus was crucified, went into the tomb, was resurrected, they were still in fear. Together in fear, well, all but one of them. They were all together, and they were, maybe panic isn't the right word after that, well, those few days after Jesus was gone, but fear and feeling lost, feeling confused, disappointed, discouraged, all of those things, grief-stricken certainly. And so we know that ultimately he would reveal himself to those ones who were together, Thomas being absent, we know. And then when they told Thomas, we can pick up in John chapter 20 and verse 24, and we recognize he had to know. He had to know what Jesus was, who Jesus was. John chapter 20 and verse 24. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" We've seen Jesus. We saw him with our own eyes. He appeared right before us. "So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" I will not. And so then, of course, Thomas earned in quotation marks, air quotes, because, listen, we could all be dubbed as doubting, fill in your name. Just that this is where he picked up that moniker, you could say. Thomas knew the man, Jesus. Thomas loved the man, Jesus. Thomas, well, he believed in the man, Jesus, to be the Son of God, but we can see by his statement here that at least in this moment when his brethren were telling him, "We've seen him," Thomas needed to know that Jesus was more than the man Jesus. He needed to know that he was more than just the Son of Man, and more than his own ideation of what the Son of God was. And Jesus gave Thomas what he needed. Verse 26, it goes on. "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' He said, 'Here I am for you to see.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" He believed in God, and he also believed in Jesus as God there. He saw him as more than just his friend, saw him as more than just his teacher, his rabbi, saw him as more than just his brother, saw him as more than just his master and the Son of God and the Son of Man. He knew him as God by his own words there. He needed to know him as something more. He needed to believe in God and believe also in the Lord Jesus. Now again, for us, it's kind of reflexive to understand Jesus, the Spirit, and God as the three in one. We recognize, again, as just this Godhead, this God that's above us. And again, oftentimes we can kind of lump it in there. Just as Thomas had difficulty seeing Jesus being one with the Father, and certainly had no understanding of the Holy Spirit, at least not a complete understanding as he would shortly after these events here, we can be kind of the opposite. We can kind of, well, we walk by faith and not by sight. But we can find ourselves at different points in our race being the opposite of Thomas. And I mean that race, that walk of faith, where we forget the individual. We forget the personal. We forget that relationship that we can have with each individual personage of the Godhead. We forget that Jesus was indeed man because we don't see him. We don't have the luxury, except that the Lord gives us more than we even need. We can sometimes forget that individual personal relationship to be had with just Jesus, as I mentioned and titled this lesson. We might say, well, God is there. I believe it. God is. We understand it. God is God, and there he is. And we really do believe that. We really do understand that. But we can shortchange ourselves if we don't identify and pursue the individuals. If we don't pursue the Father as the overseer, the great righteous and holy one, the one in whom is all authority, and certainly Jesus holds that as well, but the Father is the Father to whom Jesus does submit. We can lose sight of that as we just consider God as this nebulous thing. Look to him, the Father, as being the Father. We can shortchange ourselves if we don't look to the Spirit as the comfort and the helper and the guide and, well, the teacher and the compass for us, you might say. And certainly, we need to look at Jesus as the individual, the Son, and the sacrifice that he is. The Christ and the Messiah, we understand that that's what he is. We understand that that's part of his title, but also the friend and the brother that he was to Peter. The friend and the brother that he was to Thomas. The personal, individual one that he presents himself to us. If we take part in that relationship. In my notes, I say that he was our earth mate. Because he walked the earth in a fleshly body as we do. He shared natural life with us. The Father didn't do that. There was a separation there that Jesus took upon himself. So we have a right and we have a duty and we have a privilege of engaging in the person that is the Lord Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, he says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me, Jesus, the personage. Believe also in me, I'm speaking for the Spirit himself. Believe also in me, the individual Spirit. Believe also in me, the individual Father. We don't need to doubt as Thomas did. We don't need him necessarily to step down here and show us his hands and feet. You understand that Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen and have believed, and that certainly is where we are. But we do, I think that it would behoove us to approach the individuals of the Godhead. To speak even to the individuals of the Godhead. Take time to believe just Jesus. Take time to speak to just the Spirit. And to speak to him and, well, engage with him. Invite him to speak to just the Father. Open your heart, saints. Open your heart to hear from the individuals and let the Lord show himself individually to you and share a deeper understanding of Jesus the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And you will be enriched by that relationship. Three relationships as we seek that relationship with the One. That's all that I have for you this evening.